In Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, beginning of the 12th verse, I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service, though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him. But I received mercy, because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I am the foremost of sinners. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. For this past week, in chapel, we have at various times discussed the office of the holy minister. And it was pointed out that being a professional minister depends not on one's training, not on one's education, but solely upon God alone. And that both the call and the message that we preach in our calling are not ours, but are God. And in our text for this morning, St. Paul is carrying on this discussion of the ministry as he tells Timothy. Why and how Paul himself became a minister. And he sums it all up in the words, I have received mercy. Paul had told Timothy to remain at Ephesus. He had a job for him to do. And Timothy was to counsel, to preach the word of God to a certain group of people who were becoming confused because they had heard false teachers. Because there were people who were preaching to them agnostic speculation, legalism, or as he put it, certain persons have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. Easy to see, time has not changed. And so he adds to Timothy these words that undoubtedly Timothy needed. He probably had some reservations and some second thoughts as he saw the congregation to which he identified the problems in the city in which he was to settle down and preach the word of God. And Paul tells him how he himself became a minister. It's a very autobiographical section. He says simply, I received mercy. And because of this, there was a transformation in Paul's life. He had been a blasphemer, persecutor, insulter, and now with the mercy of God coming to him, he was changed and transformed. God himself judged Paul faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ appointed him to serve him and gave him the strength to carry out this message and this mission. The basic causative factor of Paul's ministry and also the basic message which he is to proclaim was simply Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself was one of the foremost. And so that was how Paul became a minister. Why? He received mercy for a purpose.
He says, I received mercy for this reason, that in me as before me, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example of those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Now this is the purpose, that he had received this mercy, to carry out God's message, to show the world that regardless of what he had been, regardless of what he was at that time, God had still come to him, shown him mercy, had given him the strength to carry out this office of ministry. He himself is an example to all who are called to serve. An example not of his own ability, not of his own great missionary prowess, of his own work as a preacher, but of the patience of Christ, who took him as he was and transformed him into a minister of his gospel, into a servant, who is carrying on a purpose. The purpose being the extension of God's kingdom and the participation in this kingdom. And so we have an objective reality behind and together with our call and our duty as a minister. Our lives are to be part of the great doxology that we sing to God day in and day out. We are working for the Lord, and suddenly our horizon expands. Timothy no longer worried about the Gnostic speculation that he was going to have to come back. He no longer worried about the problems he was going to face, personal as well as ecclesiastical, because now he had his message and his mission. He had received the mercy of God, and from now on his entire life was committed to God in this world and in the next. He was part of a doxology of praise that continues on, a never-ending doxology. To the King of Ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And so our lives then are suddenly raised from the humdrum local conditions in which we find them to a position in the kingdom of God, to a part of the never-ending doxology we sing and act to our Lord, because I have obtained mercy. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.